From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 21st day of April, 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana, will be here to take up the agricultural cash grain markets. Closer to the end of this half hour, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast, that with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. And then in the second half hour of this program, on most of these stations and online at willag.org, we'll talk with Dana Peterson of the National Association of Wheat Growers. She's some interesting thoughts on the need for publicly funded research of her favorite crop, and a wish list for the financial regulation legislation Congress is now crafting in Washington, D.C. It all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract in the wheat, a 487 and a quarter settlement price, up a penny and a quarter for the day. July soft red at 499 and three quarters, one and a quarter higher. In September at 516, up a penny. May hard red winter wheat at 499 and three quarters, down 2 cents today. July down two at 510 and three quarters. Back in Chicago from the corn pit on the afternoon. Nearby May futures at 359 and a quarter. Settlement price up 3 3/4. July at 369, 3 3/4 higher. September 378, up 3 cents. And December futures at 387.5, up 2 1/4. March corn futures at 399 and 3 quarters, up 2 for the day. Soy complex, May beans, 995.5, up 11.5. July at $10.06, up 12. August at $10 a penny and 3 quarters, 12.5 higher. And next year's November at 977. Up 13 and 3 quarters. May bean meal at 293, 550 higher. May bean oil at 38.90, down 17 cents. April live cattle futures, 99.60, 92.5 cents higher. April feeders at $112.05, finished 40 cents higher. And the May lean hog futures today at $87.82.5, $1.62.5 higher. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. A quick look at the outside markets tells us that the crude oil futures at $83 are down 85 cents. Ethanol at $1.58 4/10, a penny and 9 cents higher. And the RBOB gasoline at $2.27 1/10, just about 9 cents of a cent lower on the afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Hey, have you visited our website lately? The address is willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org. There you'll find all of our daily agricultural programming, including the opening and pre-opening market reports, the midday update, and our closing market report, including the brand new program. That's the second half of the hour of the program. We call that the Farming World. And you'll also find our flagship program, Commodity Week. It's all at willag.org, there for you to listen to anytime you'd like. And you can sign up to have them delivered to your computer automatically as a podcast. If you can't get to the website or listen to us on the radio, how about dialing this number? Updates come at 10:15 and 3:15 daily with a bit of analysis and some of the numbers, either the opening or the closing market reports at 217-333-3434. That address for the phone number again is 217-333-3434, and you can find it all at willag.org.
Support for agricultural programming comes from the Westchester Group, an agricultural asset management firm specializing in land auctions for farmland, timberland, and recreational land. More information on upcoming auctions is at westchester-auctions.com or at 800-607-6888.
This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It is a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural futures markets. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, joins us today. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Was it a busy day for you today?
Well, it was average. It looks like the market's giving the soybean farmer the second chance membership in $10 beans.
And I take it, since you mentioned that, that you want them to be a willing seller of old crop.
If they haven't sold them now, I hope they hold on to them for a lot higher prices, Todd.
Okay, so, well, then...
You know, that's the main body of thought there. And could they go higher? Well, we're not sure. We do know that the Chinese have been aggressive buyers of new crop soybeans overnight. The market is surprised at the amount of old crop beans the Chinese are buying, and also they're buying new crop beans at an earlier pace. Supposedly, we do know from past experience they've been very aggressive in the distillers and the corn gluten feed, and they were in Canada looking at canola meal as well. So it was a busy day in the soybean complex, and the corn and wheat also followed along.
You're right. The Novi beans made a high today of 985.5. Their settlement price at 977, not quite up to the $10 mark. Are you going to wait for 10 bucks to sell or not?
Well, I've been sold out of old crop beans and sold $10 new crop beans. As far as when to pull the next trigger on those other beans, I think a combination of things have to occur. One of them is, of course, at some point in time we're going to get news from the Commodity Futures Trading Commission on the size and positions of traders' positions. We also understand that there's going to be a rate hike in interest rates by Canada from the G7 the meeting this weekend. They're going to make the announcement. It does look like that we're going to get a very good rain this weekend, the following weekend as well. And, just from window driving down the road and plus my reports from my farmer friends, I wouldn't be a bit surprised, from Route 36 South, there might not be an acreage increase of a little more than what people anticipated on corn planting.
If that is the case, will corn come under more pressure?
I would think that is a real possibility, and it's going in, I think, in my opinion, record speed. We know that the farmer is doing things differently than 2004. You know, the plant population's probably a better hybrid, and this early plant is just what the doctor ordered.
You want to talk about the impact and effect the Goldman Sachs decisions in Washington, D.C. might be having on the marketplace at this point? Is it detrimental, and how detrimental?
Well, we know even as much as 10 days ago, I was toying with the idea of actually buying stock in Goldman Sachs. They're the Cadillac of the industry. If their earnings would continue, they'd probably earn somewhere in that $12 billion income range, which makes them a big economic powerhouse. We know they hire the best of the class and their executives and employees earn more money than anybody else, which makes them, a target. Now, they have the best lawyers and the best advice money can buy. And it seems like that they did announce earnings that were considerably better than expected. And as I understand, it's going to take years to make this settlement. And it's going to be a very expensive program for the government to prove from what I can put together. But it'll be interesting to see how it folds out. They did have one person that made the statement that one way to handle Goldman Sachs is divide it, like they did Standard Oil back and the Bell system and things like that. You know, I think the government's nervous about how profitable their size. The other side of the coin is they do pay a lot of taxes, and that's always good for the economy as well.
Hey, are you interested to see, and I don't know whether you want to comment on it other than this, are you interested to see that it's the Agricultural Committee that's handling the financial regulation things, that they're pretty much the only ones that might understand what a derivative is?
Well, we understand, and this bothers me a little bit, that the big money center banks basically can trade futures without putting up much margin money. And this is one of the things the big money center banks have an advantage over my customers or customers XYZ. I can't trade commodities because it's a conflict. The company doesn't want me to trade. But it does give people an unfair advantage, and this was one of the reasons why Lehman Brothers and some people got in trouble, because there was such a windfall of margins. The other thing that needs to be reformed, in my opinion, is these off-exchange-traded derivatives. And, you know, I think it makes sense that some of these are traded on a commodity exchange, example, Chicago. So I think some of the reform is necessary. It is going to change the landscape, and we're all waiting on pins and needles to see what happens.
Any final word from you for the day?
Have a profitable day.
Always. Thank you so much. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. You can listen to him again on our website if you'd like. The address, of course, is willag.org. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with all the agricultural news for the afternoon.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids, to farmers throughout East Central Illinois. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In agricultural news, Brazil's government yesterday agreed to suspend possible trade retaliation against U.S. goods for 60 days while it further studies U.S. offers of compensation for cotton subsidies. Under the terms of the accord, the U.S. will agree to deposit $147.3 million annually in a fund to compensate Brazilian cotton producers for damages caused by U.S. subsidies. Also under the accord, the U.S. agreed to reduce export credit offered to U.S. farm goods exporters under its GSM 102 credit guarantee program and recognize beef from the southern Brazilian state of Rio Grande do Sul as being free from foot and mouth disease. Brazil had planned to apply up to $829 million in trade retaliation against a list of more than 100 imports from the U.S. Brazilian officials say the suspension of retaliation announced yesterday would only be made permanent pending its acceptance of additional U.S. compensation offers. House Ways and Means Chairman Sandy Levin says the U.S. will take unilateral action if China does not take steps to revalue its currency by the time the Group of 20 Nations meets in Toronto in late June. Levin says, quote, China's currency is clearly undervalued and is an important cause of our major trade deficits. Levin told reporters that there were several options that the Obama administration could use, including initiating a case at the World Trade Organization. Public health experts are urging the Food and Drug Administration to force food makers to gradually cut the salt of their products. Americans eat about 1.5 teaspoons of salt daily, more than double what they need for good health. The Institute of Medicine says that the food industry has not done enough to voluntarily cut back. It urged FDA to set maximum sodium levels for different foods in a stepwise rollback so people will have time to adjust to the change. The American Medical Association says that if the salt is processed and restaurant foods were cut in half over 10 years, that ultimately 150,000 lives a year could be saved. The U.S. Senate Agriculture Committee is set to weigh changes on Wednesday to a derivatives reform proposal and may consider whether to drop a controversial idea that would require banks to stay out of the swaps market. The bill would regulate the $450 trillion swaps market for the first time, requiring most derivatives to trade on exchanges and pass through clearinghouses to prevent risky trades from ricocheting through the economy. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week. Up next, prices for corn and soybean crops are expected to be a bit weaker. That following the USDA reports, and they've rebounded since then, but there still may be some weakness in the markets. We'll hear about that from Daryl Good.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
December 2010 corn futures traded to 375 following the grain stocks and prospective plantings reports, but traded to a high of 395 the second week of April. November 2010 soybean futures traded to a low of $9.08 a bushel. That followed the reports, but were 60 cents higher that same second week of April. It's a volatile market. While much of the day-to-day chatter in these markets centers on the so-called outside markets, the energies, currencies, and the financials, the most important price factor now, says University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good, is just how big or small the season's crop will be next fall. Well, he says the corn crop is off to a very good start.
For now, it appears the U.S. crop will be planted in a very timely fashion, resulting in negligible yield penalties in 2010. In addition, the National Weather Service forecast is for generally benign summer weather conditions. Some market analysts believe that the current volcanic activity in Iceland could also lead to favorably cool summer weather in some parts of the northern hemisphere. However, that volcanic activity is much smaller than historic episodes that have influenced summer weather.
The timing and the magnitude of the weakening of the current El Nino, also notes Daryl Good, may have some influence on summer weather, but correlations are not strong. The relatively dry conditions in April could have some minor negative influence on the corn yield potential, too. That impact, however, may be offset by the generous amount of precip from last fall through March of 2010.
Expectations for the 2010 soybean crop are not as well defined as those for corn. In general, an increase in corn acreage from intentions would lead to expectations of fewer soybean acres. The magnitude of change this year is difficult to anticipate since planting decisions will be influenced by decisions for a number of other crops. In addition, the magnitude of planted acres of all crops could deviate from March intentions.
In eight of the last 10 years, the difference between March intentions and actual soybean acreage was in the opposite direction of the difference in corn acreage. The exceptions were 2008, when acreage of both crops exceeded intentions, and 2001, when acreage of both crops was below intentions. Now, soybean yields are most heavily influenced by July and August weather. At this juncture, there's no reason to expect the 2010 U.S. average yield to be below trend. Daryl Good says if favorable planting and early growing season weather conditions persist, as forecast, corn and soybean prices could experience some ongoing weakness. More volatility would be expected as the crops, of course, approach the critical part of the growing season in July. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Baisdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Ken Smith of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana, is on the line with us to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Ken.
Yeah, good afternoon, Todd. It's another nice day here in north central Indiana. I assume it's that way over there in Illinois as well.
Indeed, it is a beautiful afternoon, and I'm sure the producers are out doing field work and planting corn.
Lots of progress done over in this area, Todd. Many producers in our area are now finished up on corn, and some are planting beans, some are waiting on a little bit of moisture, but lots of crop progress done in the last week in this area, and just going in almost ideal conditions right now. So we are excited about the crop prospects. We're off to a great start, and hopefully we get some rain to follow it here.
Ideal conditions. Did the ground work up okay for them after last season?
Yeah, actually in this area, very good. And, right now people describe, planting conditions to me as being ideal right now. Been an interesting trade in the market the last few days, a very choppy trade. Certainly Monday got off to a negative start. We've gotten a lot of the gains back in the last two sessions. Really not a lot of fundamental news out of the market the last two days, Todd. We do see, relatively tightness in the cash grain markets. We see some strengthening basis. Certainly this time of year we don't expect a lot of heavy cash grain movement, and with guys in the fields and commercials not feeling pressed for space, usually movement slows down, and we're seeing that, and we're seeing some tightness in the cash markets. But really fundamental news is hard to come by today. Certainly the fundamental picture with good weather conditions, we may anticipate just a little more corn planting. But that really has not weighed on the market so much here, especially in the last two sessions.
Were you surprised at all? And you said you don't anticipate a whole lot more corn planting, but did it surprise you at all that the November beans were able to hold up with gains with the nearby May contract? I would think that, we might be short of old crop, but certainly the new crop wouldn't be under that same kind of pressure.
Yeah, certainly surprising strength in new crop. Like you said, Todd, the fundamental picture in old crop beans could be very dynamic, very tight, and you expect to see some strength in the nearby. But certainly in the furs, with the kind of potential that we may have, and certainly this big South American crop as it competes with the U.S. crop, really think that new crop beans could come under some pressure, but not seeing that at all today. So, to me, some surprising strength in the markets, like you said, surprising strength, I think, in the new crop markets especially.
Many people calling in to book out sales and deliveries for new crop corn and soybeans?
We're probably, 2 weeks ago, a lot of the conversations were on new crop sales. Today, I think they're transitioning to more old crop, especially old crop corn. I think there are some quality concerns. Certainly, last year's crop was harvested very wet, a lot of FM. Certainly outside temperatures are heating up, which may make you worry just a little bit about what you have on hand. So the conversations are transitioning. I think given the planting may go in early, people may start focusing on moving some old crop corn here relatively soon.
Anything else to add besides your bids for the day?
No, other than that, cash corn here at Climbers for the April time frame, we closed at 356, May at 359, and new crop at 362. So, certainly, off to a great start planting. Thought it would, provide a little pressure on the markets, but haven't seen that so far.
All right. Thanks much, Ken.
Thanks, Todd.
Ken Smith is with the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. Somebody from that office joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Wednesday afternoon. In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, Missouri, and will help us take up the agricultural weather forecast.
In business news, the International Monetary Fund today says that the global economy, after enduring a crippling recession, should see better than expected growth this year, led by strength in China and other developing nations. In an updated report, the IMF forecast that the world economy will expand 4.2% this year, faster than its previous projection of 3.9%, and a sharp improvement from 2009 when global output fell by 0.6%. However, the International Lending Agency warned that the recovery still remained vulnerable, with the biggest threat likely to come from a surge in government debt burdens. For the U.S., the IMF expects growth of 3.1% this year. The IMF forecast that China's economy will surge 10% this year. McDonald's first quarter profit climbed above analysts' expectations as hungry diners looked to stretch their dollars. The world's largest hamburger chain says sales rose across all of its markets as more customers visited its restaurants. McDonald's earned $1.09 billion, or $1 per share. That compares with earnings of $979.5 million, or 87 cents per share, in the same quarter last year. Analysts had forecast a profit of 96 cents per share on revenue of $5.52 billion. And that's a look at today's business news.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason on a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, joins us to go through the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the globe. Drew, let's start with the Midwest. What does it look like?
Well, it looks like we've got another day or two left before things might deteriorate a little bit on us. We've got a few spits and spats of moisture scheduled to move across maybe Missouri into parts of Illinois and Indiana as we go through the next 24 hours. I think by the time we get to Thursday morning, we'll have some showers in the southern parts of Indiana and eventually into parts of Kentucky. The rain amounts are going to be light, and the distribution of the rain should be light as well, so we're not expecting this to be a major interruption to field progress. But out to the west, a large storm system will be brewing tomorrow, and we'll probably end up seeing this particular storm system becoming a little bit better organized as it gets ready to come through the Midwest. Most areas in the Corn Belt will get rain from this event at one time or another, and it looks as though the rain totals are likely to run from a half inch to about an inch and a half across the majority of the production region, maybe a little bit lighter in parts of Kansas and western Missouri, but outside of that, I think it looks like a pretty nice little system that will help us restore the topsoil moisture situation so that we can move forward with planting a little bit later down the road. The model run didn't make any major changes from earlier this morning, and it looks like the midday model run is reducing some of the precipitation potential for the late weekend and early part of next week, so maybe a little bit more field work can occur at that point in time. And our next bigger storm system will show up around the end of the month. So a nice mix of weather coming up, and I think we'll continue to see ideal conditions for planting and emergence.
Any concern about the low temperatures in the evening? We are still in the month of April.
Yeah, that's right. And eventually we are going to encounter a little bit of cooler weather. I think this is going to occur after the second storm system moves across the region. We'll see some cooler temperatures take place. Right now, I think the midday model run today offered a little bit too much cooling, actually, behind the storm system at the end of the month. And at the moment, I don't really think there's too much in the way to be concerned about for frost and freezes right away. But I don't want any of us to turn our backs right this moment in time. There's still a lot of coolness in this hemisphere. And I'm talking about the entire northern hemisphere. We've got a major freeze coming up for China. We've got some significant coolness that's been hanging on in parts of the western portions of the former Soviet Union. And Canada is going to have a little chill, too, as time moves forward. So we're not totally done with the cool season yet.
Yeah, talk about that freeze in China. Of course, they're well behind, I think, where they should be in their planting season. So maybe not as big a problem as it might have been.
Well, actually, I'm thinking from a planting perspective. Their spring wheat and their corn that's produced in northeastern parts of the country hasn't even started yet. And normally, this would be the second week of their spring wheat planting season. And it looks like they're going to be in a third week before they can even think about getting out into the fields. The soil temperatures are way too cool for germination. And the odds are real good that we're going to be looking at the first week in May before they get out there and actually put a seed in the ground. So their spring wheat crop in the far northeast is in jeopardy. They may end up reproducing in a very warm and unfavorable time of the year. And the corn crop, which is often starting to go into the ground in the northeast during the last days of April, is obviously going to be delayed as well. So we need to keep an eye on that region. It's plenty moist there, by the way, so that's not going to be an issue.
Drew, thanks so much.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and that wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. We'll say so long to some of our radio stations. The rest of you will join the farming world.